Welcome to On the Drive. My name is Cindy Lawrence, and today we have a repeat guest, one of my longtime friends, Cindy Sarver from Mercedes-Benz. Say hello, Cindy.
Hello.
So today we're going to talk about being in the parts department.
Yes.
So I think if I'm in service, right, Cindy in service, and we have Cindy in parts. We talked a little bit about our history and about being at the dealership. So we thought it would be a great time to do an episode called, So, You Want to Be a Parts Counterperson?
Not really, but it happened.
It did happen, right? And it's interesting. Some of my beginning was in the parts department, and then I grew into service. But Cindy really has a great transition, a great journey through our early years in life.
Yes.
And the aftermarket up till now. So I think you were telling me the other day one of your first really major gigs that kind of changed your world was Bozzoni Automotive. So tell us a little bit about Bozzoni.
It's a nice little shop down in Seabrook. And I actually hired on just to work in the office as a secretary.
That's how it always gets started, right? A smaller job that always leads to many more. So
the owner, Chuck, which is a great guy, and we're still friends to this day.
In fact, I think he called you today, right?
Yes.
You touched base because you knew we were going to do this show, and it just brought back a little bit of memory, and you're like, let's call Chuck.
Yes, it was awesome. And he tested me. My first day, he bought me this 5-gallon bucket.
Day one. Welcome to Bozzoni Automotive. Here's a 5-gallon bucket of bolts.
Nuts and bolts and washers.
Oh, really?
And he sat me in front of these bins, and he goes, we need these sorted.
These are these bins that normally are in the parts department. They're little cubby holes, probably about 4 by 4 inches, and they go about 6 inches back. And this is where technicians come and get miscellaneous bolts, things that we would never bill out on a ticket independently, but just miscellaneous things that we need throughout the day.
Yeah.
So
I would go home every night. My hands would be black.
And it would be black because you actually had to pick up
every single one and measure them with this little gauge he gave me.
So he gave you a tool.
Yeah.
Okay.
It was a little plastic gauge. And then I had to put them in the right bin. And it took 7 days.
7 days.
And every night I go home with my hands black. And he was like, I don't think you can do it. And I'm like, I'm going to show you I can do it. It was a war of the wills.
War of the wills, right? But that gave you a lot of experience, right?
Yes.
That's old, what I love that show, Wax On, Wax Off, right? I might just be painting a fence, but actually, no, I have a skill. Your Wax On, Wax Off was taking this 5-gallon bucket of bolts, putting them in the bin.
And so now I can look at a bolt and tell you the thread pitch, metric or American, and what size it is.
So, ladies and gentlemen, all it takes is a 5-pound bucket of bolts, and you too can identify any nut, bolt, screw, or washer.
That was the beginning.
And it's interesting. So when I first got into automotive, I was looking for a job, and I went into, do you remember the Volkswagen dealership on 45 South, J. Marks Volkswagen?
Yes.
So I walked in there to be a parts driver, and they said, we don't have any openings, but if you want to come in here on a Saturday, you can sort all these parts. So Carlos taught me the numbering system, 3 sets of 3.
Right.
This is how you starts in the middle set of 3, 105 is engine, blah, blah, blah. This is how you put them up. So John and I, who is the counterperson, who as you can imagine, as a parts person, you're the only one in the parts department besides the manager, and you're doing wholesale, retail, and back counter.
Yes, I've worked at dealerships like that, yeah.
And all the parts are in boxes because they don't have any help.
Oh, no.
That's what I was hired for, is to get all those parts that have come in on weekly, daily shipments and put them up where they can be easily found.
Wow.
And John, of course, he helped me, so I'm taking a little bit of credit for things I didn't do. But when I general manager and parts manager came in, they would get you a job, and that's how it started.
So you had good organizational skills.
No, I didn't. It was actually John that goes, Cindy, you got to start with the big parts first. Don't start with the little nuts. We got to get rid of the big boxes, right? Let's make a difference. Let's make it easy to move around and things like that.
But you had to determine where they go on the shelf.
Absolutely.
Right?
Yeah. So I learned the Volkswagen part number system. And then actually I worked the next couple of years within, not necessarily the dealership, but the aftermarket.
Mm-hmm.
But that part number system really helped me throughout, right? Just that one day of intense.
Yeah. That's what
wax on, wax off.
Yeah.
So now you're working at Bozzoni. You've gone through the 7 days of...
Oh, Bucket Hill.
And now, a little bit about Bozzoni. It was pretty big, place, aftermarket, independent shop. But
they had 18 mechanical bays. They were in 14 acres. And he was also the number one importer of Japanese engines to the U.S. at the time. And that's big.
Really?
Yeah.
So to get a contract like that, obviously, you're a big player. You've got the room, you've got the experience, you got the reputation in town. So this is a great place for you to really get started in, right?
It was automotive everything. It was awesome. I worked there for 16 years.
16 years. And how did you progress in your journey along the way till we met at Greenway?
Yeah, I started with him working in the office, like you said. Then I wrote service. And then he needed someone to set up the parts room, so I did that. Kind of the same thing you did at Volkswagen. I determined what we stocked, where it should go, put it all in the computer. And then I ended up helping him run the body shop and flagging technicians on body time.
Oh, okay. Wow, very diverse.
Very diverse.
You do everything at the independents. The dealership were more, this is your job title, parts department, service advisor.
Yes. But I learned there also that the customer, they're not necessarily always right, but their interest is what comes first, not the profit of the company.
To have longevity, raving fans, that's the ticket, right? That's the ticket. So you started at Bozzoni. You had 16 wonderful years within various departments within that independent.
Yes.
And then how did you come over and us meet at Greenway? Tell us a little bit about that, those hops, jumps, and skips.
I had left there and didn't know what I was going to do next. And I had some of my dealerships that I used to buy parts from would call me and go, hey, Cindy, what are you doing? I go, nothing. You want to work? Yeah. And so I'd go work for them. And that was at Acura. And then Honda, the same thing. Honda called me and said, hey, come work for me. I'll give you more money.
So you're still working, but you're known through the industry because we get a reputation because of accuracy, attitude, right? We talked the other day about Twinkies, cough syrup, and
I pay
tequila.
Attention. I listen to my customers and whatever they need. So then Honda called me. I went to work at Honda. And then Mercedes-Benz called me and said, hey, why don't you come work over here? So that's how I got to Mercedes-Benz Greenway in 2000 when I met you.
And I think you started in the boutique.
I started in the retail boutique.
So there's three main sections within the parts department, three counters, I guess you could say, right? So tell us a little bit about the three counters.
So if you wanted to get a key or if you're doing your own starter alternator, you'd go to the retail counter because they're better suited to help you and spend time with you, show you pictures, go over your different options on that, order keys.
And then in the boutique, sometimes they're all set up like, remember Angie?
Yes.
Angie used to have our boutique set up phenomenal, right? They had these beautiful, rich wood center counters, and they were set up with coffee mugs and teddy bears.
I love the teddy bears.
I still have a collection. I'm going to hang them up in my office. And Tina goes, how childish. And I said, thank you. But the Mercedes-Benz bears, right? So in the boutique, you can roll in and get a lot of
keychains,
but also a few starters and things like that. Yeah. This is the retail customer. This is somebody that the do-it-yourself or just somebody that wants some accessories to their vehicle. So that's the front counter.
But you, as a service advisor, had the back counter where all the technicians go.
Yes.
And you had a whole different crew of people on the counter with their set skills to work with the cars that are getting repaired. And they're more accustomed to know what's under warranty and how to build those things out. And that's why they have their own separate counter.
So the retail parts counter and the wholesale parts counter, we'll talk about in a second, they bill out through one set of invoices, and in the service department, the back counter does the service invoices, right?
Yes.
Your best customer is the service department.
Yes.
We have the most traffic.
Yes.
The back counter is where we go to deal with or work with our team.
Yes. And then the wholesale is always away from both of these because you'll have a lot of shops come in, and it's a smaller counter. We don't have as much foot traffic as either one of these counters, but it's always shops.
But you have more volume, right?
We have more volume because
we deliver body shops.
And we deliver most of the parts, so we have a lot of volume there.
Okay, so you probably work with any dealership in any given city will work with their own make and model, but they'll also work with other make and models, right? Their used car department, things of that nature. The wholesale department would then contact Cindy's wholesale department. So Cindy would sell to other dealerships, independent shops. Body shops was a big one.
And we also have to have the knowledge of the cars that are older. much older, like from the 60s on, because the back counter doesn't work on the older cars.
Oh, absolutely.
They basically work on newer cars within the first, 10 years? So our knowledge
mostly
has to go
yeah.
all the way back to those, because those are the kind of calls we get.
Because anybody, a classic car can go to a
yes.
body shop or a repair shop.
Absolutely.
Or an independent, right?
Yeah.
They're probably more likely to maybe be at an independent, something of that
and
nature.
And I'm dealing with a client right now out of Mexico, and he works on their armored cars.
Really?
So I have to get a lot of parts for armored cars. And it's because the struts go out, the car's so heavy. And those struts are like $4,000 each.
And most of these parts obviously come from Mercedes-Benz.
Yes.
But as a parts counterperson, if I was going to – I want to be a parts counterperson. That's what a lot of us people in service – next in my next life, I'm going to come back as a parts counter guy. So, but as a parts counter guy, it's different, but it's just as busy, right? You've
yeah.
got to have multitasking. You've got to
yes.
have organizational skills.
Much organization.
Tell me a little bit about how your day would look if I was going to come join your team.
I actually deal with a lot of shops. And during the process of fixing a car, especially a body car, they might call me 10 times, add to that order, need a separate part that's attached to the part you sold me yesterday. You have to remember everything you sold this person over the past week or two to actually talk to them intelligently. You, and I also remember I get the VINs and I keep them. So that when they call back.
You have that notebook, right? Every successful
yes.
parts person should have a notebook, scratch paper in front of them, something. I remember when I was in parts, we had notebooks, so I could
yes.
sometimes flip back and somebody would call me 3 days later and go, send me the
right.
cap rotor and wires for blah, 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 and I'd have to look back and go.
Yeah, but I would do that because I don't want them wasting their time looking
Absolutely.
At the VIN when I should already have it.
Absolutely. That's why you have the notes.
He hits the phone, tells me what he wants, hangs up, and I do it.
And this is long before Google Docs.
Yes.
So
you have to be organized. You have to listen. Oh, my goodness, if you don't listen.
So tell me a little bit about listening. Like, what went really well sometimes when you listened and you maybe like the Twinkie story or something that maybe went wrong if somebody doesn't pay attention to all the details?
Not all people are familiar with the nomenclatures of what we call parts. They might be used to like what Chrysler or Chevrolet or Ford call parts, so you have to listen to what they want.
And what she means by that is, so an air filter or a filter that goes into the engine on some manufacturers is called an air filter, and in other manufacturers it's called an element.
Somewhat, yes.
Yeah, right?
So you have to actively
right.
listen what they want. And you, especially as a woman, I ask questions because he might know what he needs. And I might even already know what he needs, even though he's describing it wrong. But I don't want to demasculate him and act like I'm smarter than him. So you have to ask questions so that they come back to the right
reasoning. That's the majority of your clientele.
Because otherwise they wouldn't call me back.
Their body shop, their
yes.
Firestones, there's Joe Mackey's Fine Car Care on the corner
yes.
of Smith and Main. Absolutely. So you have all these relationships. And I think you were telling me also something about thinking in 3D.
Oh, yeah.
And mechanically inclined.
Our pictures are basically in a book. They're one-dimensional. And you have someone trying to describe to you, hey, I need this hose that has three ends on it. Where do they go to and from? And it goes here and it goes there. So you have to imagine that picture in 3D to figure out what they want.
Exactly, right? Because in hoses, there's probably, 12, 13 hoses,
so
right?
Many.
Upper radiator, no. lower radiator, bypass hose, power steering hose, and thousands of those are just
we
a few.
We have hoses going to the turbo, cooler, inlet, fuel. There's so many hoses on me now.
And the technician, especially when you're on the phone with them, right? Because it's not
yeah.
like the back counter at the in the service department where they
yeah.
just walk up and they can show or go out there. This
or bring
is you
it
really
to
have
you.
To articulate.
Yes.
And if they can't articulate, you have to ask the right questions,
correct.
Right? Does it look like it goes
there.
Over the water pump, right? Does it look like
yeah.
it's one side is bigger than the other?
But you have to do it in a way because you don't want them to feel like, hey, I'm stupid. You have to do
exactly.
it to make them come to it themselves so they feel, wow, we work together and we got something done.
Absolutely. So communication is a key part, right?
It is.
Active listening and listen to understand where they're coming from.
Yeah.
That's one of my favorite quotes. The problem with communication is we think it happened.
Yeah.
And I think I communicated how it looked, especially, and that is completely different than such as I in the service department that would try to convey
right.
to a customer what maybe a head gasket is that they never see or ball joints. So it's.
And a lot of women like talking to me because I don't make them feel like I'm above them or I know more than them.
A lot of women love to come in and work with women because they too feel like they can ask any question and no
right.
question is a dumb question.
Right? And one of the ways I excelled more is when I worked at Bozzoni Automotive and I did receive parts in, I opened every box because I wanted to see what it looked like, what I was ordering. So the next time the technician described it to me, I knew what it looked like.
Absolutely. It wasn't just a box to you.
Yes.
It was, what does a ball joint look like?
And I learned so much from that.
What does a tie rod look like?
Yes.
So coming from the parts department and then several different places, APEC, Babgion.
Yeah.
And then I went to a Firestone. Why should I have stopped off at Pro-Am? I seem to lead up to Pro-Am
Cliff.
A thousand times. I can't wait to do that episode.
I love Cliff.
But Pro-Am was more accessories, parts, and a very, very small shop. We worked on one car a year. But then when I went to Firestone, then that was a true blend. So it was interesting looking at all those parts, talking about shock absorbers, tie rod ends, and then actually seeing the part and the car and the good and the bad.
That's what I tell all the women I talk to. I go, hey, when that part comes in, open that box and look at it. So that's how you learn. And they all take it the same way. And I said, this is the best way to get your footing in here in the automotive world, don't you think?
Absolutely. I started in parts, probably should have stayed in parts. Either no, I loved my journey within service.
No, you're a service goddess.
Typical day we talked about, right? You come in as a parts person, just high level. What is my day like? Do I get to talk to a lot of people?
I do talk to a lot of people. I love it when I can take care of three phone calls at one time and look up all their parts. While one guy's describing what he wants, I'm looking up the other phone call's parts. Put them on hold. I'll look it up and tell you and go back to the other guy and tell him what he needs. Back and forth and back and forth.
So do you sit there with headphones like we have on
today?
I have
a headset.
Really?
Yes.
And just...
Absolutely.
So back in the day, there was a guy named Ron from VW Volkswagen, and he would always call us number mumblers.
Number mumblers?
Yeah. Because that's all we do is mumble numbers.
No, we don't.
It's a 1984 Type 1, and it's going to need a rear main seal 113, 105, 245F, right? How many do you need? You need two. It's $2.24. I'll send it on the 2 o'clock truck. Word. It wasn't disrespectful. Ron was a cool guy.
You didn't get to go, hey, Ron, how's your day? What's going on? What'd you have for breakfast, Ron? Really?
I can't talk about it. So wait a minute. So when I met Ron, I was a parts driver. Oh, my God. Being a parts driver back then was super cool. In the
That's
south
where
side
I met
of,
you. You were
south
a parts
side
driver.
Of Houston. I would drive around and drop off parts to the craziest places, like Sticky the Clown.
My head is going so many directions.
Sticky the Clown lived in a bus, and he would tour with that bus all over with all the hippies. In fact, one day I came over there, and there was like these monkeys that were tied up that were coming out of the windows. And then they had a shop, which was a broken-down shed with oil-stained plywood shelf parts, used parts just sagging off the walls. They had single-port, dual-port cores on the same side. Standard dish, deep dish, oil pumps on the same
side.
So it
was a distress.
It was a distress situation, but it was so fun. In fact, one day.
Okay, Cindy.
So one day, I can't tell. Wait, been years, so statute of limitations is up. And I was probably, what, 18? And they were hippies. So
I love hippies. So where are you going with this?
We probably got a little holistic, and then they put me on a bicycle. On a motorcycle. And I crashed it, and I burned the side of my leg, and then I had to go back to work like nothing had happened. So it was quite the ride with Sticky the Clown.
Did he have makeup on?
Oh, he was a clown. Sorry, he was a clown.
But when you went there, did he have full makeup?
Oh, no, he didn't. He had costumes there.
What was his act if his name is Sticky the Clown?
I don't know. He traveled around with circuses when he wasn't rebuilding Volkswagen Beetles back in the day. So he worked on Volkswagen. He stored them, sold them, and made money.
This happened or you dreamed it happened?
It happened.
Sticky the Clown is pretty.
Sticky the Clown. And then Ron.
I'm going to Google Sticky the Clown.
VW Volkswagen. This is Ron from VW Volkswagen.
I'm going to Google Sticky the Clown and see where it takes me, what rabbit hole I go down.
So in where is it that they built that whole new place in, not in Seabrook, south side of Clear Lake, the big bridge?
Okay, yeah. They call it the Clear Lake Bridge.
The Clear Lake Bridge, and they have that whole arena, that park that's down there, all the restaurants.
Yeah.
That's where Sticky was. They tore down that whole 20-acre property of Volkswagen bugs and broken-down homes and made a modern-day park with...
Yeah.
It's almost like Los Olas here.
Yeah. Sticky the Clown. I'm going to check
the Clown.
Into that. But what was so good at working at Mercedes is they gave us Mercedes brand training. Every new car that came out, every new system, like the electric cars, we had to train on all those to maintain our master certification. So but training is a huge key.
Absolutely, and I can definitely help you with some. So in the dealership, you have training that comes from the manufacturer that teaches you about Mercedes-Benz and probably their part number systems, things of that nature. Then the dealership needs to train you on their CRM tool because those are all different.
Right.
And then you have different policies in place. You have different customers in place, things like that, right?
And different departments take different training. Sales is different than us. The back counter is different than us. So, yeah, they give you the tools and equipment to do your job well.
So it sounds like you've had an amazing ride.
Yes. And we also have the ability to call Mercedes North America if we have any technical problems and a way of emailing to find the source of the correct part. But doing this so long, we pretty much got it down. We help each other at the dealership to get that.
That's awesome. To wrap this baby up, if you want to be a parts counter person, it's a great opportunity. There's great room for growth. The beauty about working within the automotive industry is there's always a dealership, right? With all the changing times and AI and everything like that, the automotive industry is a steadfast industry. Up or down, we're always doing rather well.
There's always going to be cars.
And whether you're in service, as myself, or if you're in parts, it's a rewarding opportunity. I would encourage anybody that wants to get in the parts department, you can either hit us up, you can go online, look at your local dealership, you can talk about different brands, different locations, and then who owns them, and what type of culture do they have at that dealership, which is more important than brand or anything, right? What is the culture of that dealership? I loved my journey within the retail side, right? You're still in that journey.
Yeah.
We talk about stories all the time. It's so rewarding both. And you've made a pretty good living, right?
Yes.
Nice little bungalow. You've got a beautiful son. She's driving around in a G-Wagon.
Okay.
Life is good.
Right. Yes, it's good.
All right. Seriously, so hit us up. Cindy Sarver, thank you very much. Mercedes-Benz. If you're looking for parts, depends on what type of client you are. Are you a front counter? Are you a service advisor like myself? Or do you own an independent shop going to the wholesale counter? The parts department is a wonderful place to be.
Yes.
Until then, Cindy and I, C2, will see you on the drive. Thank you for listening to On the Drive. You can follow us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts. It'd be absolutely awesome if you left us a 5-star review. I'm Cindy Lawrence, at your service. I'll see you on the drive.